There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here for another hour of live local talk. And remember, we're online, fmtalk1065.com. You can check us out Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Dalton, aren't you glad I didn't do the TikTok thing? Because we would be worried about what would happen with our TikTok account. So thank goodness I had no idea what to do with that. And we moved right past that one. All right, as I mentioned before we went to the news, and this is, I'm going to say, a friend of mine, even though we don't spend a ton of time together, I've just always had an affinity for this guy. From when I first started working with him when he was writing for the Press Register and he was a guest on the show, we'd talk politics round and round to his move to the public side of life as the Executive Director of Communications and External Affairs for the City of Mobile with Mayor Sandy Stimson. So it's a chance this hour to talk with a man who now has another part of his life rolling out as of Monday. It's George Talbot joining us on Midday Mobile. Hey, George.
Hey, Sean. Good to be with you. Thank you for what you said. I feel the same way.
I don't know why. You know, I mean, even between all our Arkansas and Bama talk over the years, we managed to get along for all those years. So,
well, clearly, if you caught the SEC gave Arkansas the most difficult schedule in the country.
Yep.
Sports Illustrated called it absurd, and it is obvious what's going on. They fear the juggernaut that Sam Pittman is building in Fayetteville.
Well, I am shaking, trying to make sure it stays hamstrung and can't ever be built into this dynasty coming out of
Arkansas. Maybe, while I love college football, no season may be a positive season for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
That's a great place for us to start, George, because talking about your affinity, fan of Arkansas football. You're in Arkansas born, right? You're from Pine Bluff.
That's correct. Pine Bluff, as I lovingly say, a good place to be from, down in the southeast corner of Arkansas, kind of in the Mississippi Delta area, and a lot of family back there. And I kid the mayor a lot. If you think being the mayor of Mobile is a hard job, try being the mayor of Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Good point. So that brings this up too, though. You're born in Pine Bluff, grew up in Pine Bluff. How does guy from Pine Bluff end up as a director of communication and external affairs for the mayor of the city of Mobile? How do you get from Arkansas to Mobile in the first place?
Yeah, it's funny. I have some cousins in Mobile, and a couple of them said, "How does that happen? Like, you're not even, you know, how did our cousin end up?"
Right. How'd
kind of
you get
in the middle
here?
I don't know. There's no way you could have planned it. As you said, I grew up there, went to college in Memphis, and I was working for the newspaper in my hometown in Pine Bluff and loving it. And something I wrote got in the hands of the editors at the Mobile Press Register. This would have been in the year 2000, and they brought me down. It's the first time I ever flew in a first class seat on a plane. It was all of 45 minutes. I just thought, this is big time stuff here. And at that time, you wouldn't say this today, I don't think, but the Press Register had such a great reputation. It was known in the newspaper business. It just had a really outstanding reputation, and there was a lot of talent there. And so when they called, I was I jumped at the opportunity to come work down here, and I'm grateful for the opportunity they gave me. And it saddens you to think of all that. I was in the building not too long ago on Government Street, where I actually started, and you know, it's amazing to think about all the incredibly talented people who worked there. And anyway, it was a special time. For a while, Mobile had one of the best newspapers in the country.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. Is for your perspective, obviously, as a journalist, a person that knows the business, knows the players in it, but somebody coming from outside in, you know, when you're in a place, you don't know what you have, right? It's your newspaper. And 20 years ago, people just accepted. They didn't realize that it wasn't that way everywhere. It was just that's what you expected.
Yeah, it for many years was not known as a very good newspaper. Jokingly referred to as the cash register. Mm-hmm. But there was a point where new ownership came in, and an editor named Stan Tyner, who a lot of people will remember. Stan was just a really brilliant leader and a really powerful force of personality. And Stan and the team that came in with him really turned it around. And I will still believe that a good newspaper makes for a better city and vice versa. And so those things have a way of really complementing each other. And they built something really special for a period of time there.
And then it goes away, and I want to talk about that. So now with some years of separation from the newspaper business, right? Let's talk about newspapers. Let's talk about print journalism. Let's talk about what the state of it is today, and I mean this seriously, your educated opinion, where it goes next.
Yeah, it's a strange world that we're in. I say it's kind of like playing football without a referee. There's no objective voice in the middle. I know, you know, you try to mm-hmm. sit through and listen to both sides, and talk radio is now where a lot of that dialogue happens, but you don't have any entity that's sort of trying to listen and sift through the rhetoric and then present a balanced either presentation of facts or a balanced opinion editorial. You know, that's just gone. And as a result, and this isn't unique to Mobile, this is, you know, all over the world, but the world I see now is increasingly, you know, nobody convinces anybody of anything. Everybody's kind of got their views, and there's not a whole lot of middle where influence happens. And so this is the state of the, you know, the world today, where we're all kind of coming from our different perspectives. But that's one of the things I've loved about working at the city, that I really think when you look at the federal government is almost impossibly broken. It's just become so partisan. State government isn't a whole lot better, but there really are good things happening in cities. There are good mayors out there that are doing really innovative stuff, and it's not through that partisan lens. They're just solving problems. They're on, as I say, they're close to the fire. They're right up next to the citizen. There's a lot of accountability and transparency that happens. And I really, it's been an amazing experience to kind of get an inside look at that.
Yeah, it seems to me from now I'm on the outside looking into what you're talking about, that there's just not enough space between, you know, the people that voted you in, the people that need the services, and the people that are at the top, you know, like the mayor's office, to have a real partisan angle. I mean, we get talking about the Democrat and Republican mayors in the state of Alabama, but I point out to folks that they don't run on that, and that's really, this is probably the area that it matters least what the party is.
Yeah, there are no, as they say, there are no Democrat potholes and Republican potholes. They're just,
right.
They're just potholes. And Sandy Stimson, when he was first running as a candidate for mayor, I remember this, at that time I was at the newspaper, and I remember interviewing him, and people, they knew about his politics, and they knew that he'd been involved in political races. He had been associated with Jeff Sessions' early Senate campaigns. And so people would ask him, well, what party are you? And he wouldn't answer that, because he said, as soon as I tell you, you're going to put me in a box. And let's don't do that. Let's just talk about what are some things you think you need in your neighborhood or in your city, or what would you like to be better? And I can't imagine. It's a difficult job being mayor. I mean, that's anywhere, but I can't imagine if you add a layer of everything we do, we're going to try to put through a partisan agenda. It just wouldn't work. You just can't function that way. You got to wake up every day and focus on solving problems and not trying to advance some. At least that's the approach that we have taken here.
Right, I've watched it, you know, exactly. Here you've had, a Democrat president and a Republican president, and, you know, at the same time, you're pitching for the city of Mobile no matter who's in the White House.
Yeah, we built some great relationships with the Obama administration early on, had many trips up there to the White House. They were great to work with, and then the administration changed, and we've hadn't missed a beat. We, you know, done exactly the same with this one, and you know, that's what you got to do. You can howl at the moon and not like it, or you can roll up your sleeves and go to work, and that's what we've done.
Yeah, that's something back to talking about the newspaper business. You're just joining us, talking to my buddy George Talbot, and currently for 24 hours more, or until tomorrow, the Director of Communications and External Affairs for the City of Mobile will start a new job in the private sector that we're going to talk about here soon. But back to the newspaper business, and I'm looking at some text here, people asking kind of questions around this. You know, what changed in the newspaper business with the opinion? And somebody said, well, they didn't used to have opinions. Well, I've known a bunch of y'all. Y'all had opinions, but if you weren't in the editorial section, y'all just didn't put them in your stories. I mean, it's not like y'all didn't have opinions.
Right. No, people often will say what happened to newspapers is they, they got biased. They became liberal or they became conservative or what really killed it, and not many people sort of, I think, appreciate this. What really killed what killed the business are want ads. Newspapers, those things were cash machines for newspapers all over the country. And if you think about it, if you're selling something or buying something, you want to get your whatever you're selling, your your
10-speed bicycle
car in front of people. And that was, they had a monopoly on that for many years, and either because of arrogance or whatever, they really missed this thing called Craigslist that sort of came out of nowhere very quickly, and before they could really react, it essentially wiped out that classified advertising, and they never recovered from that. That was a business, they'll be teaching that at Harvard Business School one day, how the industry just sort of missed that, and it disrupted it, and it's that the business case was broken, and they haven't recovered. I am optimistic about it. I do believe it will come back, and my reason for that is that everything comes down to supply and demand, right? That's the fundamental of, there's an incredible amount of demand for news and information. It's actually grown. It's greater than it's ever been in the history of our country. So people want news and information. It's the delivery mechanism and the business model that's got to get sorted out. And I know there are a lot of smart people out there and a lot of innovators, and they'll figure it out.
Yeah, it is truly, if you look back on this, what you're talking about, the Craigslist effect there, it's a David and Goliath story. And I don't even know, in this case with Craigslist, David knew that he was being David. He just was doing a thing, and it brought down Goliath. I mean, the wanted ads. I mean, I think people want it to be, you know, some bigger thing here, but you've told me before, and people I know that are in the business have told me that the weak leg there was the want ads. When that went away, it all started changing.
Just follow the money.
You're right. Scotty says here, before we go to the break, Scotty says, so George, coming from a journalism background, how do you feel about, I guess, them, maybe papers, or I guess he says them, seem to need to be the first to run a story versus addressing the who, what, where, when, and so on. The trying to be first, no matter what.
I think that's another thing that killed the news side of it. That race to be the quickest and the first is a race you never really win. Now that everybody in the world has a smartphone in their pocket. I mean, let's give a quick example of that. If you're in a city council meeting and a fight breaks out, a brawl, And now everybody's going to race to get a picture of that and get tweet it or Facebook it or whatever they're going to do, TikTok it. And there are reporters in the room, and then they're just, you know, regular citizens in the room. Well, you know, sometimes maybe the media guy is going to get it posted maybe a millisecond or two before the average citizen. But now all of a sudden everybody can do, and you're never going to win that competition. What professional news organizations can do that the average citizen can't do is a really thorough, thoughtful, investigative, that kind of thing. But they all ran away from that and got in a race for, you know, to be the quickest and the fastest and the first. And I can remember early on as we were making the digital transformation saying, why, we're giving up like the only thing that we can do and getting into a game that everybody can do. That
well said.
Doesn't make sense.
Did that, I mean, it had to resonate with some people, but obviously not the whole way to the top there, that you said, you know, why get into this thing and why not do what we... What did people say when you said that? I mean, they just ignore it or say, well, that's good, but we got to do this.
So what they would say is, well, we're going to do both. We're going to get it first. We're going to get it out there first. And we're also going to get it, you know. And so, again, put yourself in the shoes. If you're the rookie reporter on the City Hall beat, you know, you're asking this guy, all right, number one, I need you to be in there. I need you to get a picture. I need you to tweet it. I need you to Facebook it. I also need you to interview these people. I need you to sit down and give it a thoughtful analysis. I mean, you know, you kind of go, this is like trying to, you know, get a fish riding a bicycle here. It's got to kind of be one or the other. And to me, I just saw early on, there's just not a lot of value. Again, if I got it, I told it to you 3 seconds before the other guy, okay, I still found out. But what's missing to me is that more in-depth that look. And I hadn't polled it or anything, who knows, but I do think there's demand out there for that. People that need that. It isn't all the fast food. Sometimes you want a well-prepared filet mignon, you know?
Right. Listen, I mean... Yeah, your writing was always famous for that, not only to tell you more about the people involved in it, but kind of set it and frame it and why it should be important. And George has always been one of the best on that. We're coming right back talking more with George Talbot and about his journalism career, his time in public service with the government here, executive branch for Mayor Stimson, and where he goes next. It's all straight ahead right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Days like this, this isn't like a job. It's just getting to talk to one of my friends and find out, you know, what's next for him. And we talk about what he's been doing all this time, from the journalism business to moving into the private sector. And I got to ask you this, George, as much time as we've spent together over the years, we're always talking politics, we're talking policy, we're talking news when you're, you know, obviously, and what the city's doing when your time with Mayor Stimson. And I see pictures, and we should all share pictures on our Facebook of what our, you know, our kids are doing. You're doing stuff with the kids all the time, but other than suffering through Arkansas football, what do you do? What do you do for fun, man?
Good. I really appreciate that question, because I get seems like when you work for the city, when you work for the news,
you don't get any days off.
Anybody wants to ask you about is what's going on with politics, and you know, I used to say, you know, I'm interested in other stuff. But you know, people love to talk about that. In Alabama, politics is a sport of its own, and you know, when you work for the city, usually they want to complain about, you know, why can't I get my trash can lid, or you know.
Yes.
And so you know, one of the great things about this move, my wife pointed out to me, our kids are 11 and 12, and you know, we've got about 5 years with these two before they're out of the nest, and mm-hmm. she said, you know, this is time you don't want to miss. And the reality of this job, and I love the job I'm in at the city, but it is all-consuming. It's a 24/7. At least that's the way we approach it, and that's mm-hmm. the way the mayor. He is a hard-working guy, fully committed, all in, And I guess you could maybe do it in a different way, but if you're doing it right, that's what the job is. And so one of the make this transition, getting more time in with the family, getting some fishing time in with my son.
Good. So that's you are going to get to fish some.
Yeah. Hopefully, okay. you'll get me out. We'll actually catch something.
Yeah, you're invited. Let's go. Because it's something. Yes. By the way, at those ages, you don't even get the years you're talking
right.
about. Because I got one just about turned 15. The oldest, she's turned 15, and she pretty much she's out of the house as it is.
Right.
She's just
right.
She's even though she lives there, but. So you make this transition, you're going from, and I will come back and I'll talk some more journalism, I'll talk more about your time at the city, but to lay timeline out for people, you've been with the city for how long now?
I came to work November 4th, 2013, so it's coming up on 7 years.
Okay, so that's, journalism into the public sector doing that, and now tomorrow your last day with the city, and Monday your first day at the new job. What are you doing? What's the new gig?
So I'll be the Director of Governmental Affairs for Volkert Engineering. Volkert is a company a lot of people will know, a great Mobile company, almost 100-year history in Mobile. They build big transportation infrastructure, bridges, highways, big stuff. And, you know, when we started talking, when you're in the job I'm in, you get calls from time to time. Usually I kind of brush those off because I really do love what I'm doing. In this case, they were pretty persistent. And as we talked, I really became fascinated by it. They're a lot bigger than I realized. And I won't say they've grown away from Mobile, but they've just grown so much. They have a lot of work, a big office in Charlotte, an office in Nashville, Dallas.
But Mobile, for people to know that, and I know a lot of people know, but this isn't a branch here. This is where it started.
Yes, that's right. David Volkert. Was the founder, and just a great tradition. I've known a little, and they do some work in the city of Mobile, but not a lot. One project that's notable is the Broad Street, we call the Tiger Grant Project, mm-hmm. but the redevelopment of Broad Street, which is going to be an amazing transformation. It's a little disruptive right now. Was just by there right after lunch, but it they do some really great work. They have a lot of talent there, and it's as they look going forward where they want to go and increase their role in the city and the region. I think I told them early on, whether this turns into a job or not, I think it's great to see a company. It's almost like bringing a corporate headquarters to the city when you see where they want to go from here. So just a kind of a unique thing that came about, great thing is get to stay here and mm-hmm.
That's sort of my next question. So yeah. you, the family gets to stay here, you get to stay here.
Correct.
All right, let's do this. We'll run to the news break here and come right back. More of our discussion with George Talbot. Of course, for another 24 hours, I'll still say Director of Communications and External Affairs for the City of Mobile.
Like my high school track coach used to say, run through the tape, not to the tape. So,
well said. I like that. They never told us anything like that in football. They said just when you start hyperventilating, practice is over. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. A lot of fun, too, getting my friend George Talbot in to talk here. And we will talk more going forward, but it'll be the new job. So it'll be, when we talk, which I don't know if new bosses will let you talk to the likes of me, but if they do down the road, that'll be the third gig you've had since you and I've been talking.
I think hopefully in my new gig, I can say some things maybe I can't always say in my current one. So I'm looking forward to that too.
I am too. I'll tell you, and y'all should be as well. Like you told me, you can say this. You're telling me we're talking about. You mentioned track coach mm-hmm. from your days in Pine Bluff, and we also started talking a little bit about high school football during the news break, and you pointed out your coach. You should tell y'all what?
Famously, boys, you don't got to be a scientific rocket to play this game. And I've carried that with me because I'm no scientific rocket.
That needs to be put on some kind of tablet or something there on a desk. Boys, you don't need to be a scientific rocket to play this game.
That actually, I think, started with Danny Ford, who was at one time the Clemson coach who later coached at Arkansas and was known for his Danny Fordisms.
But it's one I'm going to use with the children as well. That's why I would tell them that at the dinner table, see what that comes from. All right. So this question here from the text line. So your job with Volkert will be what? What is the definition of your job?
Well, at the fundamental level, it's helping them win more work and grow as a company. They obviously do a lot of work.
Because you're not doing any engineering.
That's right. As I pointed out early on when we were talking, because they were really pretty aggressively pursuing me, and at some point I said, you know, guys, I'm not an engineer. I have never built a bridge. I know nothing about those things. And they said, look, trust us. We got enough engineers. We're good.
Okay,
you know,
sure,
we
sure
need
not.
Somebody who's not one of those. So, but that in a way, that's kind of what it is. It's helping talk about the projects that they're doing and helping. Win new projects, and to do that, you're oftentimes meeting with governors or mayors or you know, those kind of decision makers, and they don't always think like engineers think, and mm-hmm. I've certainly learned a lot about that in my time at the city, and so hopefully you know, they've got some I think it's an exciting path forward for that company. And some real ideas about how to grow it and just be part of that team, helping them get where they want to go.
Will part of it be like for Mayor Stimson for communications roles or communicating to y'all got a project and people like me in the media? Is that part of it at all?
They have a...
Because you speak media, you know.
Correct. they do have a communications team there, and I'm sure I'll be working with them, but it's really, in addition to that, helping with the decision makers, helping them to choose Volkert for these projects, helping right. identify the projects, and so we'll see. I hope they seem pretty confident I'm going to be good at it. We'll find out Monday. We're not going to wait around.
Let's talk about people going back to the journalism question here, and I want to run back to that for a second. You said earlier that you think that the demand for the content is there. I'm writing notes down. How will it be packaged successfully going forward?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. It's just how it gets delivered to you. Clearly, we all have a smartphone in our pocket now, and everything's sort of gravitating that way because of the physical limitations of the device. It's a certain size. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. You're going to read things differently than you would if you're reading it on a printed page or on a desktop, and so I think you got to be thinking about all those different ways it gets to you. But what's cool to look around and you read things like I do, there are different magazines, there are different new publications, people are doing things with email, there's a lot of different stuff that in some ways right now you could look at it as kind of a golden era. If you're a consumer of news and information, you kind of have all of it available to you and most of it at no cost. That's probably going to mm-hmm. change, and you're seeing more publications now putting up paywalls. Lanyap did that a few mm-hmm. years ago, and that going forward will begin to change, I think. And right now, though, you kind of have the benefit of all this content, right at your fingertips.
Well, it is a benefit. I don't disagree, because I want the most of it. I don't want to censor any information. I want everything available to everybody. But it is drinking from a fire hose, right? Because you may not read this article to its completion, because over here is the flashing, blinking light of the next one.
They've studied that. Really, your brain does process information differently when you read it on a printed page and when you read it online. You also choose stories differently. There was a whole there were these incredible people that worked at the paper who laid out the paper every day, and there were meetings and lots of thought and planning went into what story went here on the front page and what photo went with it. And
y'all hearing this? This is real behind the scenes.
All of that becomes almost like a work of art each day that lands on your doorstep. And it informs you. Your eye would naturally, they would gravitate to the upper right or the upper left. And so you do more what they call serendipitous reading, which is that because the story is placed a certain way, it's sort of subconsciously telling you, I should read this because it's being, you know, prominently placed in front of me. And so you might find yourself reading an article about China or something that you would never necessarily
because of its
on.
Physical position yes. on the page.
Correct, because there are lots of these cues that are telling you people have looked at this and said you need to. When you read, like a lot of us do, you get on Google and you tend to do more what they call kind of rifle shooting. You kind of go right to the stuff you're interested in. So if that's Alabama football, mm-hmm. I'm going in there, and maybe I even have news alerts for Nick Saban or yes. Julio Jones or whatever, and I go kind of right to the stuff that I'm interested in. And we all, you know, get on there and surf around, I know, from time to time, but on one level you sort of that's part of what's happened with this big fragmentation. Now everybody mm-hmm. kind of goes right to the things that they have an interest in, and there's less kind of, again, what they call serendipitous reading, where you read about things. I can remember as a kid. Maybe,
were you a big newspaper reader as a child?
I loved that. You know, we would we got the newspaper at my house, and I loved looking at the sports page, spreading it out on the kitchen table, and at the time it was just something you enjoyed doing. You didn't really think about the fact that it's actually a discipline. That you're developing to be informed and be aware of the world and things that are happening in the world. It was enjoyable, so you didn't think about it like right. that. But when you subtract that away, and I think culturally you kind of lose something. So hopefully we're trending back.
Yeah, I wonder how that happens. That's a great just concept to think about, because you can rifle shoot online. It's, you know, what I've talked about, YouTube versus television. The general consumption television is still there, but it's getting more and more to be a smaller margin, right? Because I can go watch exactly what I want on YouTube or some other streaming service or whatever, and not have to sit through. We used to sit through shows or find a new show because you're waiting for the yeah. show you want to see. Come on, right? So that doesn't happen. But in the world of print journalism, I guess you mentioned magazines earlier. It is that effect of I'm opening this magazine to read this particular story, but either my wait to get the tires on my truck is a little longer than I thought it would be, or my wait in the airport or the flight, mm-hmm. I end up reading the stories to the side of it, right? Mm-hmm. The up front. And so you read stories you wouldn't think you normally do, but online there's no motivation, because that story that's that rifle shot, there's another one waiting for me right there. So you see it changing, but how do you... That's very sad. That's very quickly satisfying. That's a sugar rush, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's not bad. I mean, in other words, the used to be there was this barrier of entry. In other words, if you were going to
right.
provide news, you had to go buy a press. Well, that's really expensive. I mean,
it was only the. I mean, it was. You're talking about some of the most expensive things to do in this country,
or
I mean.
The television stations, and all of that has just imploded, and that's good. I mean, now it's created this incredibly open field of competition, but we're still in a phase right now where you said it before. It's this fire hose effect. There's so much, and then there's so much misinformation or biased in some way to try to push you this way or that way, and as I said on the earlier part, you know, we're in this funny who's refereeing all this stuff, and mm-hmm. so Facebook now is they're struggling to try to get their hands around fake news and what's fake and what isn't, and but the toothpaste is a little out of the tube there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
it's hard at this point. It all just happened so quickly. And now I think all of us, there's a story about an old guy sitting on the porch, you know, in the 50s and smoking a cigarette. And, you know, back then cigarettes were advertised mm-hmm. as being healthy. Doctors would even
right,
tell you that
right.
He was in the Army. They give you cigarettes. You know, you should right. probably have a cigarette. And he takes a big drag and stubs it out and says, you know, I just have this feeling these things aren't good for me, but hey, you know, everybody says they're good. Well, you kind of have that feeling about social media right now, and especially when you, those of us with kids, and you watch how they can get sucked mm-hmm. into it. Something doesn't feel quite right about that. I know it's part of the world. It's just sort of how we make choices and how we kind of put guardrails around it and try to slow down that fire hose. It's I can't sit here and tell you I have the answer, but it is.
But do you think there's a Surgeon General's warning coming some decades down the road on this?
I just think, yeah, 10 years from now, when we're sitting here
right.
talking about it again, it will be different. And right now, I think you kind of know in your gut, this is a little out of control, the social media, and right. You see what's happening with TikTok. I heard you talking about that, and that that we kind of raced into this without thinking a whole lot about the full consequences of it, and in the excitement of the technology and all the amazing stuff, that we kind of lost some things that maybe we don't want to lose. And so we'll see, but I think there's some really smart people out there, and that's what gives you encouragement. I think they're really smart people who are doing innovative stuff, different things, and I think it'll get sorted out.
All right. One last before the news break, then we'll come back. But in your position and your current position, because you're going to run through the tape, not to the tape, what does that mean for somebody in the communications and end of city government? Because it's been more than once you and I have talked about it. There's a fake Facebook page put up or something put up, and maybe to me, my... I'll put it in some South Alabama language, folks. And my BS detector goes off a lot more quickly maybe than others, but people see it and they call up the city enraged. Something's not even true. And then y'all got to, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
They're telling you, y'all are doing such and such, and you haven't done anything of the sort.
Yeah, the power of misinformation to spread very quickly, and rumor and that kind of thing. And you can find yourself kind of chasing your tail in a hurry, because now you're sort of... playing whack-a-mole, trying to stop rumors, and you're actually.
But that's your. I mean, that's your job definition, right? Well, it's communications for the city.
Correct. And the way I always looked at it, and the way we would talk about it at the paper, is the best antidote to that. The best antidote to bad information is good information. Mm-hmm. And so, less focus on chasing rabbits all over the place, and focus on. Good, consistent, accurate, reliable information, and I think we've done that. At least we sure have tried hard to do that, and that means maybe you don't go as fast, or but
you mean you don't rush to be it, that's it right. before everybody else, but you wait and get it correct.
Yeah, you.
Concept.
Patience and not taking shortcuts are.
But that's got to be hard, George. When your phone's ringing at the desk there, and they said, Shirley's on line one, Sean Sullivan's on line two, somebody's on line three. Facebook says that the city of Mobile has been sold to the Chinese communist, right. Whatever it is.
Right.
You probably want to. You're thinking, man, get this fire put out right now. This is not true. We don't want this to spread.
Yeah, I could give you several examples of that kind of happening. And again, when you're speaking for the city, you need to be accurate, and you need to be reliable. If you stop doing that, then. You've become part of the problem, and so that can be frustrating, because
I can imagine.
But just like we learn in grade school, how does the tortoise beat the hare? Just by being consistent and incremental, and just showing up day after day, and moving forward, and that's what wins the race.
And talking about you just explained, at least in my eyes, what are your keys to success, watching you from a distance. Coming right back, more with my friend George Talbot, talking about his role, of course, in the newspaper business, his time with the city, and the new job that starts on Monday after he runs clean through that tape tomorrow. We'll be right back.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Wish we had like 4 hours to do this, as I'm talking to my buddy George Talbot. And for right now, Director of Communications and External Affairs for the City of Mobile. But as of Monday, we'll be with a company that's started here. That was interesting when I was reading the story when it first came out. So Volcker, well, I know it's a here, but then I saw all the other places it was. I thought, well, we might just be another part of this bigger company, but this is home base.
That's right.
And so you said you get time with the kids. I think that's good. Time with the missus, which she tells me she's not looking forward to you being home. No, but there's got to be a travel schedule, right? You're going to be on the road some.
Yeah, that definitely will. But right now in the COVID era, I think everything is a little limited there, and everybody's still doing lots of Zooms and that kind of thing. But yeah, that will be part of the gig for sure.
What about that? How do you, coming out of Pine Bluff to Mobile and working in the newspaper business, anything there prepare you for a pandemic? This is my first pandemic, so
pandemic was not in the manual, as the mayor and I were joking the other day. That was not in anybody's manual, and you know, you kind of layer into that the protests and the all the civil unrest that we've had this year, and it makes for a sporty day at the office.
Yeah, being the voice of the mayor and the administration, communications director, it's not just, you know, the people saying, well, they don't care about potholes, you know, and you're like, well, council, but don't even, we had protests like everywhere else going on in the city, and you got to navigate that.
That's right. But that's, hey, this is what we signed up to do, and I'll go back to when I was contemplating taking the job with the city. My wonderful wife said, in her loving way, you know, you kind of like being in the news business. You kind of like, you know, being on Sean's radio show and having your picture in the newspaper. And, you know, are you going to be okay with having a regular job like most of us? And I said, yeah, I think I will. And anyway, I came home the first day and I said, you know, I don't think boredom is going to be an issue in this job. And it has not. It is. Maybe a little boredom would be good.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of non-boredom. Well, from all of us here, we wish you the best, and you'll come back and talk to us. We'll be talking about different things over the, and we can at some point talk about the schedule that Arkansas football's facing if we play.
Yes, I would.
You're not so pleased.
Let's hope we can talk about some football here this fall. That'd be a good thing.
Be a great thing. And one of the good guys, it's George Talbot right here on Midday Mobile. We're on the way out of here. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. See y'all tomorrow for Mobile Mornings. And remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com, for social media. We attempt to corral the truth on our social media platforms. That would be facebook.com/fmtalk1065 and Twitter, and also Instagram, where we corral pictures of the truth. All right, Feinbaum next. Y'all have a great one.